Hey, everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 425, four and a quarter of Power Rangers, Wild Force, episode 7, The Bare Necessities.
It aired March 16th, 2002, written by Derek Rydall and directed by Koichi Sakamoto.
Derek did a bad one last episode was episode 3, I think.
Let's see. Let's go back.
So when I just edited. Time.
Derek Rydall. Episode 2, Darkness Awakening.
Okay. So it was the one I just edited before then. Anyway.
Episode 3 was Jill Donnellan.
Right. Okay. We won't get caught up on writers for too much longer, but it's not the same person every time, so we're just a little excited. Anyway, to talk about this episode, we have conscripted a special guest. Tanner, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, it's me. I'm Tanner. My pronouns are they, them. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. The second I was like, hey, who wants to guest? I think within a minute. No, that's before. Like, months before I asked, you sent an email being like, hey, I know you're not doing Wild Force for a while, but can I do this episode?
I wanted to lock it down on the peak Taylor episode.
Oh, I hope it doesn't get worse from here. I hope it stays, like, valley, because... I love Taylor, and I just want her to be great the whole time.
Well, you want it to
peak in that it stands out the best in my memory, but I'm okay. Pretty sure she has a powerful presence throughout the whole show.
Good.
As I say, you want it to stay as a plateau, not a valley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the valley is going to go down.
Well, I mean, what if the valley's at the top of the mountain? Then it would that's be not, called a plateau, I guess.
That's not the definition of a valley.
I mean, the valley could be just like a flat land.
Well, the valley is currently floating several hundred miles above Seattle, so...
Yeah, exactly. Tanner, you're a first-time guest, so we have a couple questions that we're going to stumble our way through. What is your history with Power Rangers?
So, I was born one Gregorian year before Power... Well, not quite one year before Power Rangers started.
Okay.
So, I've been pretty inundated with it for most of my life, except not... I haven't been like a lifelong fan. I started seeing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers reruns, and I did have the VHSs, like the ones where they anamorph into their Zord on the bottom.
Right. Yeah. There was like two episodes for each color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like, I didn't really follow it until around the time of Wild Force, and it's a combination of like us just not always having the cable necessary to watch the show, and me just not understanding how a weekly TV schedule works, because I was 9 or 10 years old, and I didn't know anything. I didn't have a personality until college, so what did I know?
Most people don't.
Still sometimes I wonder about me.
Currently, personality is Dr. Sniffles.
Dr. Sniffles, yep. Booger Man.
Game Boy modder, soon to be.
Yeah. Get your orders in, because maybe he'll start selling Game Boys. I don't know.
Hey, there's a market.
It's like the reason I wanted to be in Wild Force, well, first off, because Taylor, and also because I knew enough about podcast guesting that I could have theoretically showed up for Time Force, but Wild Force is like a place in my heart where like, I was watching it weekly. I cared about them. I knew their names. I had more of a connection to them than the Mighty Morphin people.
Okay. I think somebody, it was either in the Discord or on Twitter, somebody said like Wild Force is like the second most like jumped on series of Power Rangers after Mighty Morphin. So it's like this weird like jump in viewership comparatively. So it makes a lot of sense that like that's a place that you started.
I think it's also like it was around that time where Power Rangers started becoming a Saturday morning show more than just a weekday show.
Right.
So, and that was also a very peak time for Saturday morning cartoons. Like, I'm the generation that grew up with the Four Kids animes and Lunatics Unleashed, and that's all I can think of.
Lunatics Unleashed owns Bones.
I don't know what that is.
It's Looney Tunes, but in the future, and they all have superpowers. Shoot. It's radical.
It's Looney Tunes Evolution.
There's a series of, like, Garfield books. It may have also been a cartoon. That's, like, the same thing. It's, like, Garfield Super Friends, where it's all the Garfield characters, but with superpowers.
But is it, like, still funny Garfield, or are they edgy teens with the aesthetic of Batman Beyond?
No, it's, like, if you drew, like, a buff Superman, but his head was Garfield's head.
Pamela Anderson body, Garfield head.
And there's also an Odie.
Sure.
That's just, like, a buff man with an Odie head.
That sounds disturbing. This was just like, what if Bugs Bunny was like Blaster Bunny? I don't remember what his name was.
It was like Buzz Bunny and like the descendants of Bugs and Lola and Coyote and Roadrunner and Taz.
Whoa,
and Sylvester.
Wait.
Not together.
Not together. Okay.
No.
There was a Roadrunner and a Coyote, but they were like, not.
Those cartoons just took a way different tone. If
no,
that's the case.
It was not a Wile E. Run Yodi. anyway, yeah, that was a peak time. That's also Yu-Gi-Oh, like prime Yu-Gi-Oh time.
So is this being like a new big jumping on point and the Saturday morning thing, is this a direct result of Disney?
No, because Disney...
I mean, that could definitely be a factor too. I know I was watching on a Fox Kids when I started, but like they changed to Disney halfway through, so they probably also would have changed cable packages. All
that's
these kids
so
are watching.
Weird. Hey, if you want to watching this show, you have to have the Disney Channel now.
Yeah,
I think this whole season was on Fox because I think they bought it halfway through, but it didn't transfer over. I might be remembering
this was before,
that wrong.
This was before Fox was Disney.
Right, now it's the same thing. Now it's soon they're going to own everything, and then they're going to buy this show right out from under us and say, you can't call them nutties anymore. You got to stop talking about hot dogs so much this season. But yeah, so I think it was on Jetix, which was like proto Disney XD.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was like the ABC Family Kids.
That was like, yeah, that was a pre-Disney XD, because that's also where they had the Digimon Tamers and Frontier. It was like, oh, this is Disney Channel, but it's for boys.
Yeah. There's no princesses here, except for Princess Shayla, who is a princess, but don't worry about it.
By every Disney definition.
Pretty much. So, Tanner, who then is your favorite Power Ranger?
Like, so far or in the entirety of the franchise?
I mean, we used to do so far, and I don't understand why I put that restriction on, but, like, give us a both.
Well, in the entirety of the franchise, it's Chip from Mystic Force, and I'll be back in a few years to wax poetic about him.
Okay.
But up until now, it's Cole. Just kidding. It's Taylor.
I had a panic attack for like 1 second.
Yeah, you almost got kicked off. You would have been our first kicked off guest.
Well, Calvin did the same thing. We had Calvin on for the Ninja Turtles episode. We're like, Calvin, who's your favorite Power Ranger? He's like, Troy. And I was like, are you kidding me, Calvin? And he was. And I, kids, man. Because he was born the day that episode aired.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was wild. Anyway, Taylor's a good call. I love Taylor. She's my favorite thing about this season.
So far. We're only about to be 7 episodes in, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, I hope it's been picking up. The last 2 episodes have been good. Like, unqualified good episodes, so.
Mm-hmm.
You already answered what your favorite season was.
How about the,
did I answer it on mic, though?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think you did.
What's your favorite season?
My favorite season, it's a pretty close tie between Dino Charge and Mystic Force.
Okay.
And those are both like Wild Force, I was in it, and then I kind of dropped off because they jumped to Disney, so I didn't have the cable package.
Right.
And then YouTube happened, so I could watch Mystic Force. Right. And then Dino Charge happened, and I totally didn't know how to pirate videos, so I don't know how that's related to Dino Charge, but here we are.
Nice. I'm excited to get to Dino Charge. A lot of people seem to really like Dino Charge, and I've seen like a very tiny bit of it, so I'm excited about that.
How about this one? I'm only looking for a 1 to 2, no spoiler, 1 to 2 words, no spoiler answer. What's your favorite Zord from this season?
Oh gosh, no spoiler.
You can just say the animal.
Bears.
Okay. I wonder if that's going to happen in this episode called The Bear Necessities.
Who can say?
It could be anything, really. There's a lot of different kinds of bears.
There's another answer, another no-spoiler answer that I can just say, kick them.
Kick them?
Okay.
Kick them. Hell yeah.
I bet I know maybe what kind of animal is a kick them.
Soccer monkey.
That's the only one. Has to be a soccer monkey.
Soccer monkey. Did we ask Cassie favorite villain or monster?
favorite villain. Actually, I'm pretty sure my favorite villains are Jindrax and Toxica.
Okay.
They have a very good rapport. I don't know if they've reached that point yet at this stage of the series.
In the last episode, they had a very nice moment between each other, which was very much appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah, in retrospect, there are some villains that I really appreciate. And favorite individual monster, I'm trying to remember if anyone stands out.
Pudgy Pig.
Pudgy Pig was pretty good. I had that VHS. I also liked Pine Octopus.
Pine Octopus was also pretty good. It was a clown, but then it was a big scary octopus monster. It turned a little girl into a cardboard.
Yeah, that gave me some nightmares for a while.
That was a pretty creepy episode.
I had, when I was younger, a cardboard cutout of Shawn Michaels in my room.
Sure. My parents still have a cardboard cutout of Goldberg on the wall right outside my old bedroom door. That's been there since like 1998.
Maybe that's the real ones, but they ran into Pine Octopus.
Oh, well.
And the Goldberg on TV now.
Is just a clone.
It's just a clone. It's a bad clone.
It's a big putty.
I've never had a cardboard cutout, but a friend of mine did steal an Edward Cullen from a movie theater.
Nice. I think I'm out of questions.
I think so. I got one more for you, Tanner.
All right.
Are you ready to watch this episode of Power Rangers?
I'm so ready.
Me too. So if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back. We talk about it. You can follow along. We've got Netflix or the DVDs. And Wild Force is trending up. So maybe now's the time. Maybe now's the time to start.
Jump on episode 5 or 6, and you're in for a pretty okay time.
Absolutely, don't watch episode 4 if that hasn't aired at the time we were recording this. But Tanner, oh boy, that episode was cold burgers on a paper plate. It was real bad.
Oh no.
So that's coming out on Friday. But we're in the future now. We're doing episode 7.
Wild Time.
And we're back, and we just watched The Bare Necessities. No, not The Jungle Book, but The Power Rangers.
Bare Necessities, the simple Bare Necessities? It's been a minute since I've listened to that song.
I think it's simple. That's the whole point, is that it's like easy living, right?
Yeah.
The Hakuna Matata.
Yeah. The Hakuna Matata means the Bare Necessities, means family.
Translates directly into Bare Necessities. Yeah.
Yep. HeyJakeandJosh.com/MorphinGrid. That's our website. That's where the archives are. You can go there and listen to old episodes of us slowly getting better at this over several hundred episodes. You can email us at littleidiotsnotmorphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @MorphinGrid. We're on Gala Podcasts. We're on Podknife and Podbay and Podbean and Podbears and Pod Necessities. It's a podcast you gotta have.
It's the simple podcast necessities.
What are your pod necessities?
I don't know if I have any. I listen to some shows, but not like I don't need to listen to any of them.
Tanner, you got any pod necessities?
I feel like I'm catching up on my pod necessities. I'm coming off of, I think, 6 hours of going through the Fallen Jammer trying to catch up on you guys.
Ooh, that's a big one. That's a big arc.
Taking notes and also forgetting that you guys had left the moon.
See, oh, thank it wasn't God. Just us.
They just made it sound like the fortress was on the other side of the moon.
It sounds
That's
like
exactly
we just,
what I thought.
We just banged a Yui and went around the moon. See, it's not just us. I can't even, like, see, they were like, oh, you're on Four Loko. And I was like, not for that one. That was a while ago. My pod necessities are very boring. It's my brother, and me, and War Rocket and Ajax.
I have two, actually. I looked at my list. The Empty Bowl and Goosebuds.
Bowl. Oh, God. What an oasis in this trying time.
Gosh. For real, my pod necessities are just listening to my friends' shows first, but that doesn't really work because I've befriended almost every podcast I listen to at this point.
That's a trick. That's how we get listeners. Oh, you gotta listen to your friend shows.
I mean, I did the tweet where every time I guest on a podcast, I put another friendship stone on my infinity gauntlet.
Nice. anyway, we are on all those places. If you want to leave us a rating review, that would be very good. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as $1 a month, you get some cool stuff in return. As of today, episode 4 of the Hey Jake and Josh podcast is up there. So you already knew about that 2 weeks ago, listeners, but it's up there. Maybe by the time this goes up, if we can find the time, because we've broken the milestone for more Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes. So there is a DVD on its way to Josh.
Yeah, I'm so excited to check my mail.
Yep, so you can get that. And Latasha can get something that she actually wanted. So I was like, I can just give Josh something.
Yeah, what a lovely housewarming gift. Thank yep, you.
You're welcome. It's a good show. So those are up there. Just help support the show. We really appreciate it, everybody. We got some new patrons, which we will read out on Friday. We got a guest, so we're not doing emails or patrons or any of that stuff. I want to talk about this episode so bad, because it was dope. I'm so glad Wild Forest is good now.
Yeah, I'm so glad we get to ride that Taylor high.
Oh, my wife, my beautiful wife. Oh, I love her so much. Her last name's Earhart.
Yeah,
which
I
is a
that
little
too.
On the nose, but I kind of love it.
It's pretty on the beak.
Yeah.
Well, you know how Power Rangers is always one for subtlety.
It is a very subtle show. Yes.
Can we guess,
think of a single instance.
Can we guess any other last names based on this one for this
Ooh,
season?
Well, Earhart. So Cole Lionheart.
Oh yes.
Danny Ironheart. Max Wetheart and Alyssa
Heart.
I was gonna say Noble Heart, but that works too.
Noble Heart, College
no, she's
Heart.
She's the heart heart of the team.
She is.
She's the smart heart.
Smart heart. That sounds like a clothing brand.
And a org no heart.
Yeah. We start off with Taylor. My beautiful wife on a jog, and she's just doing a jog, and she sees a fighter jet, and she looks wistful for a second, and I don't know if it was last episode, I think it was the last episode, where she's like, hey Cole, did I tell you about my squad? And just pulled out a picture of her and some people in front of fighter jets, and I was like, they better bring this back. They did, and boy howdy am I glad.
They made some very good choices plot-wise, and they did their best with the PlayStation 2 graphics they had available for to them.
That if I had one problem, it's that it definitely looks like someone drew the planes. But
there is one plane that simultaneously looks like it's CGI and also made of paper mache.
Yeah. they pulled that one out of Pilot Wings for the Super Nintendo. Yeah.
Look, N64 was way out by now. They definitely had Pilot Wings 64. And
yeah, but if it was that one, it would have been like origami. It would have just been like very cubic.
You're right. So she's somehow right next to an army base because she just like looks to her left and like there is a base now.
I got the implication that she followed the plane to the base, or she just already knew where the base was and decided to make a detour.
I think, because it seemed like an accident to me. It seemed like she was, like, running and then saw the plane. I was like, oh, cool. And then, like, maybe jogged a little bit while just, like, thinking about planes. And then looked and was like, oh, no, I'm at the Air Force base. Uh-oh. But then she sees, then we go to the flashback. I'm jumping ahead because I'm so excited about these two little boys. So we get a flashback of her in a fighter jet, the aforementioned paper mache / CG fighter jet, or maybe it was her captains that looked like that. I don't remember. It's her and one other person flying around, and she sees the Eagle Zord fly by, and she's like, did anyone else see that? And they're like, nope, we have nothing on radar. And she's like,
it says on her big Spaceballs helmet across her forehead, it says Yellow Eagle.
And her captain was like White Hawk or something
White
like that.
White Hawk, yeah.
So I guess they're all color bird.
This is the backdoor pilot to Jetman.
Yeah. What was yellow in that? I think yellow was owl in that one. I know red was hawk. Black might have been. Black was condor. It's been a minute since I've watched any Jetman, but it was radical. It's also on showfactory.tv, so anyone can watch it if they want.
Yeah.
So she sees it. She's like, can I go check that out? And her captain's like, yeah, whatever. Just be quick about it. So she goes to check it out, and it like sneaks up on her and like gets over her. And she's like, oh, Dip, there's a giant metal bird above me. And then she sees the animarium and crashes.
Yeah, I think she follows it because it gets over her and then in front of her. And she follows it to the animarium where she tries to call Whitehawk again and just gets nothing. So I guess this is in like a weird magical dead zone.
That makes sense.
I'm pretty sure the animarium's in a pocket dimension.
I think so, because we're going to get another flashback later that kind of confirms that it pops in and out when it wants to.
Yeah.
It's a pocket dimension, or you can only see it if you believe.
I like that one a little bit better. We'll talk about it, I guess, when we get to the second flashback, but I like the idea that like it is magically hidden, so it's like it's there but not, but if you're chosen you can see it, but like sometimes other people can, probably, as we'll see in the future, I can almost guarantee. So she crashes, she ejects, but she, so on her keychain, because I guess fighter jets have keychains, so she has like a yellow, like the yellow ball that the, you know, all the Zords are in, but there's no Zord in it, it's just like a yellow ball, it's just this big clunky keychain right now. And so she grabs that and hits the eject button and parachutes down onto the animarium, and she's like looking around, she's like, I knew it was real. And this kind of goes back to, I think, episode 3, where
yeah,
there's like a mom reading her kid a story of the animarium. So like it's a fairy tale in this world, and I like that continuity.
I even like, yeah, retroactively, when you go back to the last episode and she's like, you don't believe that kid stuff, and it's like, but she totally believes all the kid stuff, which I really like.
So now I feel like it was just her like razzing him and not being serious at all, just being like, oh, you don't like that kid stuff, but at the same time she's like, I absolutely believe that kid stuff.
That kid stuff is why I'm here.
Yeah.
This also kind of confirms that the Zords chose them way, way before they actually ended up there. Because it seemed to me like she had that keychain for a while. Like, it's very sentimental to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely something that she found. Like, when she was little, she probably found that out in the yard and brought it in, just kept it with her the whole time.
And she was like, this has got to be from the animarium. I have to keep this with me forever.
Oh, yeah.
So she is walking around, and out pops Shayla from out of the pool. And this kind of contradicts episode 3, where she's like, Taylor found me. And I thought, I'm just remembering it wrong, but I thought she said, like, and woke me up. But I guess that's just me insinuating.
Well, maybe she was woken up by the plane crashing on the island.
That
maybe
might do it.
Or it could just be like, a regular human sets foot on the animarium and that wakes her up, like just some kind of a magic spell or something.
Also, like when Taylor first enters the clearing area with all like the fountain and the statues and stuff, there's also just a wicker chair sitting there.
Well, yeah, this is the living room of the animarium. So
that's true.
So does that mean that 3,000 years ago we had wicker chair technology?
Probably. I feel like it's the easiest chair technology to master.
Probably. Or Animarium is mobile and it's floating around. It got over Kansas. Tornado just whipped a wicker chair up there, landed right in Princess Shayla's living room.
Or a third idea is that the Eagle Zord, it turned into a people and stopped in a pottery barn. Just picked one up.
Or it just swooped down and grabbed someone's chair from their porch.
Yep.
A lot of options. So, Shayla Disney princesses her way out of this pool, and she is immediately bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and like, hi, Taylor. And Taylor's like, how do you know my name? And I really love Taylor in this moment because, like, she's presented as, like, this hard-ass, but the first thing she does when she crash-lands on the animarium is like, I knew it was real. Yeah. And the second thing she does is like, hey, how do you know my name? And isn't, like, weird about it. Just like, okay, that's a thing now.
That's a whole thing in this episode, is Taylor accepts everything at face value immediately. There's no, like,
yeah,
questioning anything.
I love it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that, like, even if I was a Power Ranger, I'd be like, this is weird. But she's just like, oh, okay, this is happening.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit later. We'll talk about it a little bit later when she's like, oh, okay, cool. Of course, this is happening right now. Even though it doesn't necessarily, like, match up with the lore that they would be presented with. I'm cool with it, though, because Taylor's just like, yeah. Okay, I fly a giant robot sometimes, so, like, sure.
And she's so excited.
It's so great.
Like, Shayla says, you get to be a Power Ranger if you accept. And then, like, her marble starts glowing and the eagle shows up in it. And Taylor has just this such a huge grin and smile. And she's, like, laughing with joy. And I'm sitting on the couch laughing with joy. And like, yeah, girl, you did it.
Yeah, get it. You got a robot. You're a Power Ranger. It's so dope. So the flashback is over. Then we kind of, like, cut back in. And she's just staring at the sky next to the airbase. And then some kids, we hear a security guard yelling, and we see two kids, one dressed in all black and one dressed in all white, and they, like, scuttle their way through a hole in the fence, and one of them trips, and so Taylor, like, helps him up. He's like, hey, you can't be playing around here, and, like, dusts him off. And then sees the security guard, he's like, get out of here, go, 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 like, before you get in trouble. So she's just, like, totally cool with, like, ah, these kids were just playing around. Like, they're definitely not supposed to be on a military base, but, like, they're kids, just let them go. It's really good.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that she's my wife now. Hey, by the end of this episode, I'm going to be fighting for Taylor to be pretty high up in our Ranger ranking at the end of the season. Because
I think that's fair.
It's pretty amazing. So
I wholeheartedly approve.
We'll see what happens in the other 33 episodes, but I can't see her being low on the list.
Yeah, I can't wait for them to just completely assassinate her character. It's gonna be dope. So the kids run off, and the security guard comes out, and it's weird because there's a security guard now. Later, there's gonna be a guy in a army uniform. So, like, I'm not sure what the security detail is like here.
I think he was, like, because this is an Air Force base, and I think he was in, like, an Air Force uniform. It also could read like a security guard, I guess. Yeah, but he had an Air Force hat on for sure.
That is true. I guess it could go either way. But yeah, the hat kind of, I don't think security guards typically wear pilot hats.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, did you see two little kids? And she kind of, like, turns away and she's like, nope. I'd never seen a kid before in my life. Don't know what you're talking about.
The security guard, he definitely should have seen those kids where they went, because he was standing, I think, 3 feet away.
They're still in the process of running down the road. Like, if you just look around Taylor, there they go.
Unless they are the two smartest children in any media and just, like, took a left and just, like, keep running straight. We're like, cops can't follow you in the woods.
They're just behind a tree.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, can't see me. They're behind a really big black and white cookie, and you can't tell where they are. So he's like, hey, are you Taylor Earhart, the fighter pilot? And she's like, no. Oh, also, she pulled out dog tags before her little flashback. And so she tucks her dog tags back in. And she's like, nope, you got me mixed up with somebody. And he's like, oh, bummer. She was the greatest pilot of all time.
Can you imagine being such a good pilot that your previous, I get, like, co-workers, squadron, whatever, like, would tell a random stranger how great you were?
I have a question, and I guess now's a good time to bring it up. Is Taylor Earhart legally dead?
I think she might be.
Well, let's see. She went missing in the sky. She went AWOL chasing something, a UFO in the sky.
Her plane crashed, and she landed somewhere, and then the body could not have been recovered because she's not actually dead.
But it crashed on the Animarium, so they don't even know if the plane has crashed, because they probably haven't even recovered anything.
What if she just stole it and was that? Oh man, that'd be such a cool 90s action series on USA. Like, I just stole my fighter jet, and now I'm a vigilante with a whole ass fighter jet. I feel like because her stuff went haywire and she ejected. So, like, presumably that could have crashed below, like, that could have, like, gone elsewhere. But it also might just be, like, in the big valley of the Zords.
Well, didn't we see it land on the Animarium where she came out of it before she got to the pool?
Well, she ejected.
That's right. That's right. She ejected,
and they cut to 2 seconds of stock footage from the 80s of someone ejecting.
Yep.
But no, I'm pretty sure Taylor is dead, which is, on the one hand, it's very wild because, so Alyssa's in college, people know she's alive, and Cole is, like, we don't care about Cole.
He doesn't even have a social security number.
Exactly, so whatever. And then, this isn't a huge spoiler, but we do see people who know Max and Danny later on in the show, and they do say stuff like, oh, it's been a while since I saw you, but it's never something like, oh my gosh, I thought you were dead.
Well, we've already met Kendall, who knew Danny from before.
Exactly. Who went to the flower store. Yeah, that already happened.
It's so, but it's also a very Taylor thing to do, Because she's also been doing this for a year, and she's like, oh, I have to be a Power Ranger, I have to fight all these orgs on my own. All right, I'm dead now. I'm not going to let anything interfere.
Yeah, I can't also have a job.
So I don't know how the military handles things like that. I don't know if she would be presumed dead or if she would be missing or AWOL. But
she'd be missing an AWOL is like when you're a deserter. Missing in action is when you flew away chasing a robot bird and they didn't find you.
So at the
very best, she's MIA.
Yeah. So I feel like it could go either way. But then the guard like knows her and is like, hey, just a blonde girl hanging out on base. That must be Taylor Earhart, the greatest fighter pilot in American history. But she's like, nope, not me. So she leaves.
Maybe there's a third option where they all assume that she just flew away and she did steal the fighter jet. And instead of them thinking she like deserted the military, they're like, oh, she's even cooler now.
Oh, the legend of Taylor Earhart. I could write an entire book series about just like rumors about her. She kind of smiles to herself when he's like, oh, she was the greatest pilot ever. And then we cut from there to Phone Man.
The Plaza.
The Plaza.
Cell Phone Man is at the Plaza.
He's made of cell phones. So every season there's one baddie who's like a red and blue thing coming out of him. Every single season there's been like several magnet guys. I don't know what they were called in Cocker Ranger. There was like two brothers, but they were like basically the same principle. But there's always one of these.
Yeah.
But he's cell phones, and he's just making everyone's cell phones scream at him.
Yep.
And he's like, I'm going to eat the cell phones. Ooh, a blue and purple one. And he just puts it in his mouth, in like his hand mouth.
And he's just like, oh, I love these.
Yeah.
This is the strangest Mega Man villain.
So far, for sure.
I refer to him in my notes as cellphone.org.
They don't really care about commercializing it. They just really want to get the word out.
Yeah. Tell everyone that cell phones are bad.
Cell phones are bad for you, it turns out. I say looking at my cell phone where my notes are.
Okay, actually, this episode kind of has the opposite moral to that, though.
That is true. Yeah, at the end it is like, man, good thing she had a cell phone.
Good thing they were able to use the cell phones at the end. Okay, I really love this episode, but also it raised a lot of questions for me.
Yeah, I think the best Power Rangers episodes kind of feel like that. So there's a bunch of people there. Their cell phones scream at him. He eats some cell phones. We cut up to the pool. Pool does a squirt. Shayla's like, oh, no, there's someone in the plaza. And Cole's like, let me call Taylor. And so they call Taylor and they're like, hey, there's an org down the plaza.
He aggressively calls Taylor.
Yes. Which
he flips his phone open and we like zoom in on him hitting the button. And then he like whips it up to his face like in a 80s like superhero getting dressed montage.
Cop action movie.
Yeah.
And he's like, Taylor, there's something going on in the plaza. She's like, I'm pretty close. Let me jog over there. So she runs over, unmorphed, and sees Phone Man. It just engages right away because she's a damn Power Ranger. She knows how to handle her business.
She's been doing this for a year.
Yeah.
For 6 months of that, I think, was by herself.
At least. So she morphs. There's a little bit of a fight before Phone Man jams the signal and it demorphs her. And like her phone falls down and she's like kind of injured because she like lands hard on her shoulder. And if this isn't what hurts her shoulder, it's in a second where she gets thrown through a table.
Yeah, yeah. She gets the snot kicked out of her.
Which is great. We were talking about this in like the first episode where like, or maybe it was the first or second episode where we're like, Power Rangers need to get beat up more because like then you feel more for them. Like, oh, I want you to get back up. I want you to overcome this thing. Or if they like just always win, it's like, it's Power Rangers. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Power Rangers work better when they're not all five John Cena's.
Yeah. It's like, I was just about to say, it's pro wrestling. Like it's about the chase. Like the underdog is always the one you're going to want more unless you like John Cena, in which case you just want the good guy to win. And that's also a totally valid way to watch pro wrestling.
There's no invalid way.
No, but like I also defo just want to see Ethan Price try to beat up five guys bigger than him because they're ganging up on him. Like that's what I want in wrestling.
You don't want All Might, you want Deku.
Yeah, exactly. I do also, I would pay good money for a series that's just All Might whipping the snot out of people, though. That would be great.
The early years.
Exactly. Like, that's in the movie. It's like, when you just get, like, a little bit of him being like, oh, yeah, let me just take out these two villains in Las Vegas or whatever. I'm like, yes, please, more. There's another movie coming out in December. I'm so stoked. I cannot wait. My two sons are finally going to have to get along and team up, and I'm very excited. Anyway, she gets thrown to a table. Like, it beats her up a little bit more. She gets thrown to a table. And then I don't remember what happens, but she just, like, dips. She, like, runs away while he's, like, distracted for a second.
Well, because she's trying to make sure that he doesn't get her phone, because he sees the phone and he's like, oh, it's a pretty gold phone.
Gotta eat that one.
I bet that one tastes like a gold raspberry.
That one tastes like buttered popcorn. The birdie buys every flavor bean.
And she's like, no, you're not getting this phone. I'm going to figure out some way to morph. But in the meantime, I'm just going to keep my ass from getting kicked anymore.
Yeah, my shoulder's defo dislocated and I need to go.
Yeah, I don't think he really gets distracted as much as she runs away and he chases him. And he chases her. And then he gets stopped by Toxica. And I think the dumbest villain move so far this season.
The dumbest villain move, which is like, no, hold on a minute.
Yeah, I know you are just about to kill the yellow Power Ranger, maybe the most effective member of the team. But what if...
Easily.
What if you stop that and we help you?
Well, I mean, I think to the Duke's credit, to Toxica and Jinder's credit, Taylor is way out of sight. I feel like Taylor got out of sight before... He gave chase. He was just like going in a direction that she was.
Because she did take a left turn. So.
Yeah. Because she's smart. Because she knows the game. But then he's like, yeah, I can put up a force field and no signals will get through. So they can't morph or whatever.
And then
say, hey, there's going to be another four pretty golden phones showing up. And that's what he's more concerned about.
Right. He's like, ooh, nummies.
He should be concerned about maybe taking out one of them while they're by themselves, though.
Well, Josh, but instead, I mean, if they were all effective villains, we wouldn't have any Power Rangers
shows. Instead,
shows.
Toxica's like, what if instead we give you a couple nutties?
Here's a cup of nutties.
It's a nutty sack. Like,
my favorite. And so then we cut from there to him in Sentai footage onto Phone Man on top of a building, making a force field. And Taylor, then we cut over to Taylor, who's hiding behind some boxes and like some crates and a pallet up against the wall. And she opens her phone and it's jammed. And so she's like, okay, never mind. That's not going to work.
She opens it and it just yells at her. She's like, ah.
It's just like, it's like the Amber Alert sound, but like, like constant instead of doing that like dip in and out that it does.
Yeah.
And then she like looks slightly to her left, and there are two boys, the two boys she helped earlier, in their short pants and their tall socks.
And their long sleeves.
Their long sleeves, short pants, tall socks, can't lose. And she's like, hey, get out of here. Like, it's dangerous because some nutties were just around. And then they don't do anything, and so I think the nutties, like, see them. So Taylor just jumps in to fight the nutties because, like, she's got to protect these kids. Which is great. It's simple, but it's Power Rangers. It's good.
It's the little stuff.
Yeah. It turns out that they have telekinesis. So, because she gets like knocked down and they just like grab hands and hold them up and then bursts like a like Havoc from the X-Men sound blast comes out of their hands.
Yeah. It's at this point where I stopped referring to them as the Shining Twins and started referring to them as the Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were definitely like creepy kids before this. even after that, they kind of maintain an air of creepiness about them.
They do kind of hit like a certain plateau or valley or whichever.
Because it's like they're dressed exactly the same, but in black or
but
white.
Opposite.
And also they're twins?
They're definitely identical twins.
Yeah, they are.
Although,
definitely twins.
In some shots, one is taller than the other.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, identical doesn't mean... Genetics are a crapshoot, Josh. I mean...
Listen, they could only find the shoes so quickly, and the black shoes That's were true. Slightly taller than the white shoes.
I mean, look, I'll buy that.
Also, they both look like Sky Ertl's podcasting partner, Jake, from Pop Culture Failure. They both look like baby versions of him.
I did not make that connection.
They just look a little. They just look a little bit like him. if he was like 10, I have a terrible time judging how young kids are now.
It's impossible.
I'm like, you're either a baby or 5 or 11. I don't know. You could be anywhere.
They get more precocious every year. Like, I had a full-on conversation with a child at work once, like, while they were waiting for their parents to finish buying groceries, and then later it turned out they were 6.
Yeah, I swear to God, like, 8 is the new 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, my old roommate Tony and I still to this day talk about this girl who could not have been older than 10. She was maybe 8 or 9. And I was working at Walmart and I was in lawn and garden, and she came in like full, I want to speak to your manager, but like in a polite kid way who like knows that you need to treat people like kind. And she's like, "Hi, my mom and I bought these things. She had a receipt with her." And I was like, "Children shouldn't have to handle receipts. What is this?" And she's like, "My mom and I bought this thing, and we bought a CD, and it wasn't in our stuff. Why is that?" And I was like, "God, I have no idea, lady." And then I like looked to my left, and there was just a bag with a CD in it. And I was like, "Is it this one?" And she's like, "Yes, thank you." And I was like, "Okay, here you go. Sorry about that." She's like, "It's fine." And then said thanks and left. And I was like, I hope she's going to be the president someday, because yeah. I'm going to vote for her. She's like had all of her shit together in a way I was not ready for. So anyway, they telekinetically blast some nutties. One of them takes a nasty bump. He flips up against a board and then lands on his neck in between two barrels.
Yeah.
And the stuntmen this season, the stunt folks this season are just putting in the work, and I hope they're all getting compensated appropriately.
Oh, for sure.
So the other Rangers,
I did want to ask okay. this, because I couldn't get a good look, and I don't know if one of you maybe knows a little more. While Taylor was getting the crap beat out of her by cell phone man, mm-hmm. was that her or was that a stunt woman? Because it looked like it was her, but then sometimes it looked like she was intentionally not facing the camera, so I couldn't really tell.
It's probably, if she wasn't facing the camera, that was probably a stunt woman, but also Allison Kipperman just seems like the kind of person that she'd do all the stunts that she knows she can do.
I feel it like definitely it looked like she went through the table.
I was just going to say, I think it was definitely her that went through the table, and she was doing a lot of the actual fighting herself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was just a couple of scenes where it was just like, don't look at the camera because you are not Taylor.
we're not allowed to have you do your stunts too. I don't know. I think, and like to every Ranger's credit, I think they've all done pretty good this season.
Even in this episode a little later, Max is going to do a really cool move.
Yeah.
That caught me by surprise for sure.
They're all doing the stunts that they are legally allowed to do.
Yeah, they're doing like the bare maximum, like the most we are allowed to. At some point, the other Rangers pulled up on their motorcycles. I don't remember where that was. It was earlier, but now they get signal jammed and they all get demorphed and their cell phones land. And then there's Cell Phone Man. And he's like, I got to get those beautiful beans in me.
It's at this point that I was thinking, man, they really should have called this episode Wild Access Denied.
That would be very good.
It's like, bare necessities, that's fine, but it does kind of give away exactly what's going to happen.
A little
that's
bit,
true,
yeah.
It does.
The last one wasn't called Giraffe Necessities, so like...
the giraffe gaff.
Jurassic Park.
That would be good. That would be a good one.
I would, because just it would have been great if like it's Wild Access Denied, and then you're watching, and there's just these children, and you're sitting there going, "Why are there children here? Why do they have superpowers?"
Yeah, because like bare necessities, like obviously, not to bury the lead, but like maybe a bear will show up. Who knows? But like it does kind of be like, "Hey, here's what to expect." But yeah, Wild Access Denied is just like, "Oh, they can't morph." Like,
yeah.
You know, and so they're, yeah, because this episode's buck wild. Like, it's just like these two twin children that were raiding an Air Force base also have telekinesis. Are they aliens? Like, this is what I was talking about, where, like, this is not anywhere in the Power Rangers wheelhouse. Like, no regular people just have telekinetic powers, as far as Taylor knows. But she's just like, okay, yeah, you can do telekinesis. I guess you're fine. So, like, thanks for saving me.
Because after I don't know if I want to say this on the podcast. Feel free to make me retake this. But after they blow the nutties...
No, I think that's fine.
Taylor passes out, and then she wakes up, like, after they heal her with their magic.
Yeah.
And she just wakes up and goes, "Did you heal me? Nice.
Nice, thanks."
She does also have a flashback again while she's unconscious.
Yeah. So she flashes back to when she was, or I guess this is like her having a dream, maybe? Or maybe this is them healing her, and then just the time it took, they're like, let's put a flashback in. So it's of her as a little girl on a plane, and she's drawing the Animarium, or she's reading the Animarium storybook, and maybe also drawing the Animarium.
I think she's reading the Animarium while drawing in the Animarium coloring book.
Right, right.
Get it as a package deal.
She's very into the Animarium, and she's like a little girl again. She's like six or between 2 and 10. She's small. And the little like flap on the plane window, like the little like shutter.
Yeah.
It's just like bouncing. So she opens it and sees the Animarium. And I, for approval to Midnight Society, I submit that Taylor has the best, most amount of pathos for becoming a Power Ranger. Because like, as a little girl, she sees the Animarium. And for the rest of her life, she's like, I need to be a fighter pilot so I can go look for the Animarium.
Exactly.
It's so good.
When I was like first imagining this episode before I watched it, I had like a distinct memory of like, I guess an expanded version of this scene where like she sees the eagle then too, and then that's when the marble showed up.
And I feel like that is a deleted scene that could absolutely be in here.
Yeah, because I guess that didn't happen in the canon, but that's something that it just makes sense to me that that would have driven, because it also would explain why she just happens to have the call sign Yellow Eagle.
Right, because she's like, when they're picking their bird, she's like, Yellow Eagle. And they're like, I was going to be Brown Eagle. And she punches that guy in the gut and he passes out. And she, and they're like, all right, Taylor, you're Yellow Eagle. And she it's has this brand, like, little orb. It. Yeah, right. She has this little orb from like when she was a kid that just appeared in her lap on a plane when she saw a magical place. And like she's got a Yellow Eagle tattoo on her shoulder that looks radical, probably.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one thing that's missing now that we're starting to dip into the origin stories, is that they still just have them. We haven't seen anybody discover their original crystal yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cole was given his, but everybody else just had a...
Well, Cole was found with his.
Right, right. Yeah, he was given it back, I guess. They're like, we're not going to let you have this golf ball. You'll definitely eat it or lose it.
Yeah. Red Lion was just leaning off the edge of the Animarium, and it's like, okay, here we go. Whoop!
Whoopsies. But like we kind of had an origin episode for Max last episode and the Alyssa one before that, and we didn't get any of their origin stuff. I guess origin is a misnomer. Like, it's just like they got new Zords.
Like their focus episodes.
Yeah, focus episodes, yeah. But like, we didn't see their backstory.
Yeah, we haven't seen their recruitment yet, really.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. But I like that they just like, we're gonna tell the best story with Taylor that we can, and that is her being a radical fighter pilot crashing on the Garden of Eden. Like, it's dope.
Oh, right. I forgot. This is a note that I had before, is that Taylor is Captain Marvel.
Pretty much, yeah. For sure. So little Taylor is like, Mom, look, the Animarium. And her mom, who is definitely played by Taylor, was Allison Kipperman?
Yeah.
I'm 100% confident that this is just her, but hiding her face so they don't be like, oh, Taylor's her mom. To like confuse kids. But it sounded like her and it looked like her. But she's like, you've been reading that book too much.
I also thought the same thing, but I didn't look hard enough to confirm or deny.
I was looking and she like hid her face. Like, she's like, you know, the camera's here, like behind her head. And then like when she turns back, she like ducks down under a blanket kind of. So I think it was her playing it, but they didn't want to be like, this is Taylor on a plane as an adult and a little kid's with her. Maybe Taylor has a daughter. I feel like that could be easily misconstrued. But like, she's like, oh, you've been reading that book too much. Try to get some sleep. And so she like shuts the window, and then her mom turns back around and she opens the window and is just like looking for the Animarium for the rest of her life.
Until and then she finds it.
It's so good. So she wakes up and she's healed and she's like, did you heal me? And they nod and she's like, dope, thanks. Like,
I owe you one.
Yeah, I owe you one. And that'll come up later in a thing that made me tear up a little bit. So good job, Power Rangers. So we cut from there to the others fighting Phone Man and then running because they are getting beaten up by Phone Man because he's very good at beating up humans. And then the twins like take her by the hand and like lead Taylor back to the army base. And she's like, whoa, you can't go in there. This is an army base. It's no place for kids. And also, I definitely don't want to go there.
They think I'm dead.
Yeah, I'm missing an action. I can't just show up. They'll put me to work or court-martial me. but then she's like, you know, like, do I have to go? And they're like, then they nod. And she's like, okay, all right. And so she just walks up to this soldier who's just like in a army uniform. And she's like, hey, what are you doing? She says, two little kids trying to run in? And he's like, what little kids? So she grabs him by the shoulder and like pulls him around so the kids can sneak in. And she's like, is this how you address a superior officer? You better go find those kids before they break in, or I will demote you to airman. And he's like, yeah, sorry, ma'am. Okay. And then runs away.
She did. Because you'll see it when she comes running back toward the camera to get in herself. She did have her dog tags out at that point.
Yeah.
So I guess that was like enough of a visual cue for him to be like, oh, crap.
Oh, beans.
Because I was just thinking, like, she's a random lady in gray sweats who just comes up and starts berating this guy, but very confidently. And it does fall into this theory I have that you can get away with anything if you do it confidently enough.
Yeah, if you act like you're supposed to be there, people will think you are.
Can I tell the both of you and anyone listening how I got onto the Cartoon Network lot?
Oh, boy.
No.
I walked in, said hi to the receptionist, and left. Because, like, sometimes you just got to pretend you belong there.
Yeah, like, I walk into my work, like, into the workers-only areas at my store and my civvies all the time, and no one bats an eye. I'm pretty sure I could get away with that in any grocery store.
Yeah, as long as you, like, are like, yeah, I belong here, like, and don't be suspicious.
I don't recommend anyone try this, but also I'm certain I could walk into the back of a different grocery store, grab a box of Oreos, say that Jeff needs them, and leave. Who's Jeff? Yeah. Oh, you don't know. You know Jeff.
Okay.
There's probably a Jeff working at any given store anywhere, so.
It's either a Jeff or a Mike.
We have three Marias currently, so like, you know, you can get away with a lot. Moving on, so Taylor berates this man, and so he runs away scared, and then she sneaks in, and then she stands in between the twins, they hold hands, and then a light circle cuts the floor and drops them into the bat cave.
So my question now is, were they sneaking onto the base at first, or were they sneaking out of it?
I think they were sneaking onto it.
I think they were trying to get into it. So that they could reach the pocket dimension that the Air Force base was built on top of.
I don't think so. I think they came from here and they were, because look, we know what they are, right?
Yeah.
everybody's put it together.
I mean, I'm still going to play a little bit coy, but like, yeah.
okay. Well, let's just say like they were awakened when Taylor was within such a radius of them. And then they came out when, because they just happened to come out when she was right there to see them.
You're right. Power Rangers does not ever do coincidences. This is because this can only be that they were awakened by her.
It's the destiny.
Yeah, it's destiny. So we cut back to Phone Man, who's looking around for the other Rangers, and Alyssa's like, oh, I got an idea. And then we cut back to Taylor, and she's in a cavern, and there's two flowers at the bottom of a deep, deep ravine.
A million-mile chasm.
It's 100 miles deep, and the two boys just point at it, and she's like, do you want me to get those flowers? And they're like, uh-huh. And she's like, well, I do owe you one, and a promise is a promise, and Jake Mason got hit in the emotions real quick and was like, oh, I love when Power Rangers do Power Rangers things.
Again, she is 100% okay with everything that's happened. Like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, you healed my wounds with magic. The least I can do is get you these two flowers. So she starts climbing down, and we cut between her climbing slash falling and the other Rangers fighting Phone Man. And she, like, Taylor slips once and then, like catches herself, and the two boys are like, oh. And then she slips
they
again.
They have very good oh crap faces.
Yeah, because they don't say anything. They never vocalize anything. But, like, they do good emoting. Like, good job, like, 10-year-olds. That's a tricky thing to do.
Is it during this fight with Cell Phone Man, or is it when we cut away from them before, when Alyssa is like, I know how we can beat this monster?
I think it's just before Taylor starts climbing down.
Okay. Yeah. Because as they're running, after she says that and they're running away from him is when Max does this cool move, because they have to like jump over these crates and there's a barrel laying like over a hole between two of them, and he jumps the crates but turns around and kicks the barrel into Cell Phone Man, which, yeah, is what, which is what gives them the time to get away. And I was like, hell yeah, Max?
Max?
A little kid couldn't do that.
Yeah, and then so then the Rangers, like, they I almost called him Leo. Cole. Cleo. And Cole and Max like attack him, and then Danny grabs him in a bear hug, and then Alyssa comes running up from 100 miles away and just jumps and spin kicks the antennas on his shoulders and breaks them as Taylor is in death free fall.
Yeah, and the two kids are up on top of the cliff like, oh no, we killed her.
Oh, she's wicked dead. She's just gonna splat and be just a bunch of wet meat at the bottom of this pit. We're gonna go find someone else to get these flowers. But she morphs, and she, because her morph suit has little wingies, and she just like swoops down, grabs the flowers in one fell swoop, and then flies right back up and lands. And is like, here you go, little boys. I almost died, but like, I promise I'd get it. And here they are. It's dope.
And they
it's
give her beans.
The most badass thing.
Yeah, and then they give her beans.
They give her some beans.
Two long beans.
But she takes the beans and say, these must be very important to you. Thank you so much.
Taylor is the best!
So this is one of my favorite parts. Okay, it's not my favorite part, but it's one of my favorite things, is that with girl rangers and girl characters in general, when they interact with children, there's this like tendency in shows written by dudes to make mm-hmm. them very maternal and protective and motherly to these children, because women are mothers and that's all you can be.
Yes.
But Taylor is like, you never get that vibe with Taylor. It's at most, it's just Taylor's good with kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just like meeting these kids on their own terms. Like, she's not like looking down at them or being like, well, kids are dumb. So like, yeah, you gotta be like, okay, if you want to give me the beans, she's like, oh, cool, these beans must be important. I'll take the beans. Thanks right. for the beans.
Even if they are just beans, like, they are important to you. So you giving them to me really, like, genuinely matters. Means a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Taylor's the best. The other Rangers are morphed, and they're like, haha, Phone Man, we're morphed now that your antennas are kicked off, and we're going to beat the hell out of you. And he's like, ah, you broke my antennas. And then Toxica and Jindrush are there like, hey, why aren't they dead yet? And Phone Man's like, weren't you going to help? And they're like, eh, I mean, you know, gave you the nutties. So like,
we gave you two nutties.
Hey, I don't know if you guys are still taking like the business metaphors pretty far with this season, but so far all the orgs are basically like freelance employees.
Yeah, they're the grunt workers, and yeah. the Duke or the Dugongs are the are the middle management, and then Master Org is the manager who just mumbles in his office all day and does nothing.
Toxica and Jindrak show up. They're like, hey, we love your work. We're going to pay you with exposure, and then once you defeat the Rangers, then we'll give you some cash.
Then you can then we'll take one of your horns.
We'll take your blood and give you nothing in return. I actually think instead of freelancers, I guess freelancers also works, but like, to go along the retail metaphor, they're seasonal.
Oh yeah.
Right? Because they're like, oh, if you do a good job, we'll hire you on. We'll make you Duke Org. And they're like, all right, I guess I'll die for this. But yeah, so he's like, all right, fine, I'm just going to hit them. So he just like starts beating up the Power Rangers anyway, until the girl swoops in and knocks this dude's dick in the dirt, and it's so good. Then they do a roll call, which is long and unnecessary, but they earned it.
Yeah, I think it's good. In this episode, I'm glad they don't do it every time now.
Yeah.
But in this episode, it definitely feels like almost like a reward that they get for getting this far. And I really liked it this time.
Yeah.
I felt like it was padding. And probably because they could only do so much. 2/3 of this episode has child actors. They only had them for so long. So they need something else to stretch out this episode, because they had to really stuff some footage in, so they do a full roll call.
Yeah.
But it is led by Taylor. She's the one who gets to say, Guardians of the Earth, united we roar.
Yeah, and like it is definitely pattern, but I agree with you too, Josh, like that, like, it feels earned at least. It's not just like two episodes ago where like, just do the roll call. We got time. We got time to kill. They at least, like, if this time they're like, we have time to kill, we got to do the roll call. They're like, all right, well, let's make it worth it then. So then they do a salad slash and they kill him, except they don't kill him. Like, he doesn't burst into chunks of wet meat. He lands on the ground and is covered in some weird,
he's just
like
foaming.
Film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets water damage.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they, like, his battery burst. And so there's like battery acid. Is that that's supposed to be?
Then Toxica seeds him.
Then she seeds him and he grows.
He does it for the vine.
She does it. Then they get in their Zords. And there was like a new bit of the Zord sequence. Like, they did like a backflip. Was that new? That seemed new to me.
I don't know if the backflip was new. All I know is that they do descend via the Bifrost.
Yeah, normally they just like run down. Like, but on
there,
nothing.
There was, like, a little rainbow bridge this time.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing that's how the other rangers get to and from there.
Yeah. I mean, my big fireman pole theory is right out, so... honestly, I'll take anything at this point.
What is the Bifrost, but a very long and somewhat flat fireman's pole that might have loop-de-loops?
It's a fireman's slide.
Yeah. You got a point. The Ghostbusters would love this. You gotta check out this slide. So they are in their Zords, and then Phone Man jams them, like, in general, and, like, the noise goes off, and they can't do anything. But then the twins run up, the two little boys run up, and they hold the flowers aloft and cross them and sprinkle them on each other until they turn into fucking bears!
And robot bears! Oh, we just double-nuttied ourselves.
Oh, no!
Yeah, and then we get, I think my favorite line of this episode is it cuts to Princess Shayla for 1 minute, and she's like, the Bear Brothers are back!
The Bear Brothers are back, baby! And like, yes, feed it to me like grapes. I love this so much. She's like, oh, those are the Bear Brothers. They're, and I wrote this down because it's Buck Wild. There's a black bear, and is this when the beans change too?
Yeah, I think the beans turn into the animal marbles.
Yeah, and so it's a black bear and a polar bear. And then Shayla's like, oh, the Bear Brothers, their ancient rangers must have hidden them in those flowers. So we are absolutely playing Calvin Ball with how you get a new Zord.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote down ranger. Okay, not only did I write down ancient rangers, but then I went back and I watched episode 5 because I remember that was when they first started getting the bonus Zords.
Yeah.
And they Shayla never says rangers, she just says guardians. But now she's saying rangers. So...
yeah, because it was even with the giraffe in the last episode, I think she said guardian.
Yeah, they're like, oh, the guardian had the spear of Parnassus or whatever, and of Parababble. And he was a giraffe, actually, which is great. But, like, yeah, the ancient rangers hid them in the flowers. So let's do just, like, a quick recap. Elephant stuck in a wall. Giraffe under the lake. Bears. Twins. People, but powers in the flowers.
This is why I think they were sneaking out of the base, or they, like,
I think you're right.
They came out of the cavern in the base and were trying to get out. It's because they were trying to get to Taylor, like the other Zords were, like, calling two specific rangers. I also think that's probably how Taylor ended up over there in the first place, is by absent-mindedly jogging there and being just like, how the hell did I get here?
Just following the call of the wild.
Yeah.
I do, on, like, okay, the Rangers thing threw me for a loop, but I do like that also because earlier, like, in the flashback, Shayla said, Taylor, you get to be a Power Ranger if you accept. And so I like the implication that if Taylor didn't accept, like, there's other potential Rangers out in the world that, like, the auxiliary Zords would have sought out, and it probably would have been a pain to find them because they're stuck in a pocket dimension underneath an Air Force base, but they would have found them.
Right. Also, still, this is just a blanket. Anybody listening, if you want to make just individual Zord versions of the Rangers, but with their new Zords, like at Morphin Grid on Twitter, please and thanks. It would be, I just want to see a giraffe ranger and an elephant ranger and now two bear rangers. So the twins run up, the twins are bears now, and they are breathing fire and ice. The black bear is fire, the polar bear is ice, and there's like a little narration going over about how like one represents one, the other is the other.
Also, all the rangers get a reaction shot to this.
Yeah, they're all super stoked about this.
Well, because I wrote down, okay, so I didn't write down what every ranger says, but it's all like, they're like, oh, wow, cool, nice, except yeah. It cuts to Alyssa doing the reaction shot, but I guess they just never dubbed her in because it's just her looking and the silence.
She's speechless. This is so dope.
Yeah, and they're alternating which one is shooting at cell phone man. He's just going, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. Yeah.
My favorite part about this is that they are, you know, black bear shoots fire, polar bear shoots ice, black bear shoots fire. My little brother pointed out that you know they're brothers because every time they change, they bump the other one out of the way. They can't just be there breathing fire and ice. They have to be like, no, my turn. It's so good. So then they do a sonic spin dash and they turn into one big wheel and bounce off this dude's head. And then Taylor, in the most magnanimous move a Power Ranger has done in quite some time, throws the new cool toys to her friends as like, hey, switch out your things for these so the arms can be bears now.
Yeah.
And now they have the right to bear arms. And they just do some bear punches and they Todoroki this motherfucker and he's dead.
Oh, I'm so glad we wrote down almost the exact same notes because I said they call it double knuckle mode because they cannot use Todoroki mode for both legal and chronological reasons.
Yes. It's so good.
I thought that before they became the arms, I thought to myself, are we going to get
two bear heads?
The two bears combined into one bigger bear.
Yes, one big bear. One big bear.
And then they turned into the arms, and I was like, oh, that's okay. And then they punched him to death, and I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, that rules. And they do a big blast.
Yeah, cannons come out of their mouths.
Yeah, it's great. And their arms are so huge. Like, the arm, like when the giraffe was an arm, it was like a little bit longer than an arm. It had a giraffe head that was a spear at the end. Like, it made sense. It made perfect Zord sense. This one, the arms are thick. They are absolute units of arms, and it's amazing. I love Power Rangers when it's good.
Yeah.
But then something buck wild happens. So they kill him and they're like, yeah, we won. It's the end of the episode. We're at minute 19. And then the Megazord runs out of power and they get ejected. And the Megazord like splits apart. And the Red Lion is sick and ill and hurt now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His eyes go wide like he just ate some really bad takeout.
Yeah, like he ate something that was like, I ordered this a month and a half ago.
He got like, some bad beans.
Oh yeah, no, he got the bad beans. I need the bathroom right now.
I have to call it to work for the next 3 days.
Cole, please, I need to get to the bathroom. Except he's not talking to Cole, because Cole keeps saying like, hey, talk to me, what's wrong? And he's just not saying anything.
And then the episode just ends on an injured Lion Zord.
It fades to black again, so I guess this is just what we're doing now.
Yeah, I don't love that, but like, I guess we're just here and have to live with it, so.
Episode's over, Red Lion's dead, Taylor is the new leader.
Yeah,
she felt like it this whole episode, and I was so happy.
So good. Anyway, that is the end of our episode. So, Tanner, what's the best?
God, so there were a lot of cases for best in this episode. One of them I mentioned is just the way Taylor's written with the kids, how it's not just mom, it's not just Kat and Justin.
Yeah.
I am constantly worried when like a child shows up near a lady Power Ranger because I'm like, oh no, I've seen how this breaks bad.
Another best was that several fight scenes had no background music whatsoever.
That is true.
I didn't even notice that.
And it just made them hit so much more raw.
Yeah, I don't mind the no music. I think that's like really effective. It's like in the first episode they had no music, or they had music but no voices, and that's weird.
Yeah,
but voices but no music kind of rules it's very raw,
especially in like the first half of this episode where they're getting their butts kicked, so we can't have like the 5-4-1 while they're getting destroyed by a monster,
and they're unmorphed for most of the time, so like. You don't get Power Rangers music. You're civilians right now. Like, you're not morphed.
Well,
so.
The phone signal's jammed, so they can't stream anything.
Exactly. Spotify's down. No Wi-Fi. No Kazaa.
But, like, my official best, the one that Benny's going to put on the spreadsheet, is Taylor's mid-fall morph. because she is falling to her death. She has no idea what's going on outside of the pocket dimension. And all of a sudden, she just knows her phone's ready. She whips it out, wild access, boom, I'm morphing, I'm flying, got them flowers, let's do this.
Yeah, radical. Josh, what's your best?
My best is when the boys turn into the bears.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because, God, what a cool few minutes of Power Rangers after that.
It was so good. I'm trying to think of, like, what to put on the sheet, right? Like, what's the official on-the-books best for me? And I think it's that when Taylor was a little girl, she saw the Animarium, and so she's like, I need to get back into the sky on my terms, and became a fighter pilot, and then was so good at it that she is known worldwide as the greatest fighter pilot that ever lived.
World-renowned and mourned every day.
Oh.
When you think about it, she also became, like, because the Animarium's a fairy tale in Power Rangers lore, so she's also the equivalent of, like, a cryptid hunter?
Yeah. That's amazing. That's so good. Ghost hunters ain't got shit on Taylor.
Welcome to Zord Adventures. We're gonna go find a giant robot eagle. It's great.
I would watch that show. Tanner, what is the worst?
The worst is the fact that rather than just the powers of nature, the Rangers also get their powers directly from their cell phones.
Yeah, fair.
Like, I don't know why Shayla. In other cell phone seasons, it either makes sense or it just looks cool, but, like, it makes so little sense in Wild Force, where it's like, we got phones, we're powered by nature, but we have phones, and I guess we just have a giant cell phone tower in the Animarium that's powering the Growl phones. Well,
they just run on regular cell phone towers, because once those are jammed, they can't morph.
Yeah. Josh, what's your worst?
That is
Tanner, were you not done?
Well, it's just, I don't know, I had a joke in there somewhere about, like, the old cell phones where, like, you text this number to get your daily joke and celebrity gossip. I'm wondering if they can get that on the Growl phones.
Do you think they have ringback tones on there?
Get holla back, girl.
My friend got a ringback tone. He doesn't know from where. Someone just signed him up for a ringback tone and he couldn't get rid of it. So he just had... Little John as, like, or something like that. I don't even remember what.
That must have been great for any professional inquiries.
This is a while ago. This was on his Razor phone in high school, so.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
My mom had a Razor for the longest time.
They're cool. They're flat. They're cool little flat phones. I mean, my phone currently is half the size of one, but, like, for the times, you know.
I never had a flip phone, but I had, like, a Sony Ericsson that it was, like, you swivel it up, like, it looks like a flip phone, but instead of, like, opening clamshell type, it swivels up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I had one that just had, like, you push the screen out of the way, and there was a keyboard under it.
I had one of those, like, two, like LG T-Mobile? Sidekick.
It wasn't a Sidekick. It was, like, the track phone version of a Sidekick. Right. The step above track phone version of a Sidekick. Anyway, Josh, what's the worst?
That you asked me that while I was in the middle of taking a drink.
Oh, no. I have great timing.
I was going to say, it is really weird now, after hearing you say that, Tanner, that the Animarium is supposed to be this, like, cutout of an ancient, peaceful, natural time, but their magic is in cell phones?
I mean, it evolves as it goes.
But, like, everything. Even know what a cell phone is.
Yeah, Shayla was dormant until Taylor got there. So where the hell did these cell phones come from?
The Morphin Grid, man. I don't know. They also got big robots. What do you want from me?
Oh, shit. What was my worst going to be? I lost it. I can't remember what my worst was.
Well, that's going in the books if you can't think of
it. No, I think my worst was... Toxica and Jindrax being like, hold up a minute. Instead of killing the Yellow Ranger, why don't you instead wait and not do that so that we can lose?
Yeah, that's also pretty bad. I think my worst is... I like this whole episode, I think. I think my worst will also be that, like, their, like, regular cell phone technology... Like, the circuits are jammed, and so they can't morph. Like, don't try to morph on New Year's Eve. You won't get through.
Yeah, this episode does a lot of stuff good, and it's just weird that they succeed at the two things they set out to do, but what they set out to do is, Taylor is awesome. Agreed. You know what else is awesome? Cell phones.
Yeah. Because, yeah, if she didn't have it, she would die.
You know, if this kind of monster was made today, the moral would be, oh, those kids are on those phones too much. It's a good thing we got rid of the cell phone monster that is making people just stare at their phones. But no, it's the year 2002. Cell phones are great. We were able to stop the cell phone monster, and now people are free to use their cell phones again.
Well, it's because all you can do on them in 2002 is talk and text.
And you have to press a button three times for the letter C. So, like, that's too much.
Not if you have an LG Sidekick.
Well, I don't know if they were invented yet in 2002.
That's true. I didn't get mine. When did I get mine? I think I was out of high school.
I had mine in like 2011.
I definitely had mine in college, so that could have been any time between 2004 and 2015.
There's a big gap. Tanner, who's the MVP?
The MVP, I know that you guys are probably going to give the MVP to Taylor, and that's valid, but I already gave my best to Taylor. So my MVP is going to go to just the child actors for being the best child actors, the best child actors Power Rangers has ever seen.
I mean, I would put an asterisk next to that because Heather did rule.
Okay, that's true.
But like, yeah, the two of them weren't allowed to talk and still had to get emotions by, which is just a big ask in general. And little Taylor was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair point. Josh, who's your MVP?
Mine actually is, I think, Alyssa in this episode.
For doing the kick?
For formulating the plan and doing the kick, because if she did not do that, Taylor would have splatted on the ground.
Taylor would be street pizza. That is true.
And just also, just like, Cole is the leader. Okay, follow me here. Cole is the leader of the team, but when Taylor is gone, Alyssa takes over.
I think they've figured out that, like, just let Cole think he's in charge. Right. We're just going to do...
All he did this episode is make a phone call.
He also did at least one kick.
That's true.
And is not great at voice acting. Because when he yelled at Phone Man after they got their powers back, his, like, the suit actor was like, lean in a little bit, then get angry. Cole was like, hey, no! Like, the whole time, like, there was no, like, ramp. He just, like, started at 100. My MVP is going to Taylor. Are you kidding me? When she was a little girl, she saw the Animarium and learned how to fly planes to find it. And then also, when presented with new magic that makes no sense, she's just like, cool, this is a thing that exists, and I understand that this is just what your lives are, two little children. And also, when she saw children breaking out of a military base, she's like, you should get out of here before the fucking cops come.
She helped them get away.
She's the greatest. Oh, MVP for life. Tanner, any final thoughts?
The only true downside of this episode is now Taylor is not allowed to doubt anything for the rest of the show.
That is true. Like, I'm going to be on the lookout.
With one exception, being Cole's ability to lead a team.
That's true. That's the only real fairy tale. It's great for children, but it has no bearing on reality.
Yeah, honestly, I believe that there is a floating Garden of Eden in the sky before I believe that, like, a dude with no experience is a better leader than any given woman. Josh, any final thoughts?
No, I think we covered it all. I don't think I have anything else.
All right, as is tradition, we usually forget when we have guests on, we usually forget to rank the episodes, but today...
I think this is an easy one.
This is a pretty easy one. Number one with a bullet.
Yeah. Which is the third time in a row this has happened.
I love when Power Rangers trends up. Because the first four went down. And then now, five was the best. And then six was the best. And now seven's the best.
It's because they're introducing all the new toys.
That, honestly, I think, because, like, the episode hasn't aired yet when we're recording this. But, like, in episode five, I was like, oh, boy, this is the next 15 episodes. Like, I'm down. Like, I want the Power Rangers animal robot scavenger hunt to begin. But yeah, coming in at number one, the bare necessities.
I think now I do have a final thought, is that...
Okay.
Because the next episode's obviously going to be about the Red Lion and Cole.
I kind of hope it's about Danny getting a new Zord, because he's the only one that has it.
Well, but the Red Lion is sick, so we're not going to just skip that while Danny gets a penguin or whatever.
Maybe they don't think Danny can carry an episode, so they're like, you go get a penguin, and we're going to cut between that and Sick Lion.
They tried that once, and if I'm not mistaken, it's the worst episode on the list.
It is the worst episode on the list.
But I kind of hope that Cole is off screen trying to help the lion, and we get some of the motivation for the orgs and some of that stuff to come back around. Because they introduced the, like, he was adjusting his horn 2 episodes ago now, and they haven't come back to it.
Right.
So hopefully we come back around to that pretty soon.
Yeah. I think that's going to do it for us for today. Tanner, before we get out of here, where can people find you and all your projects online?
So you can find me on Twitter at Sparky Upstart, and I also have a few podcasts. I host one with my friend Lindsay called Not If I Reboot You First, which is where we take our favorite properties and we reboot them before Hollywood has the chance to. Sometimes we make some really cool stuff like we did when you were on, and we made the CW's version of Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm. It was also a Home and Garden channel show, kind of.
Sometimes things go off the rails and we find a list of 100 duck names.
Like, okay, sorry.
Daffy, Donald.
Like named ducks or like
Huey,
Mallard?
Louie, Dewey, Scrooge.
Like names that someone decided would be good to name a duck.
That is a weird thing to just have lying around on the internet.
It's, oh, it was magical, and then want to somehow find the person who wrote that news article, like for a lifestyle blog. I need to find
someone
them and get their permission to make that list into a shirt. But anyways, yeah, Not If I Reboot You First, it's great, and you can find that on Twitter at NIIRYFpod. Those are the letters for Not If I Reboot You First, and it's pronounced Nerif.
And then, I love that you can't say that without your eyes going wide.
we try like to mix it up when we're on the podcast proper, when we just introduce like other phrases that it can be pronounced. So really, there's no true way to pronounce it anymore. And then also me and Lindsay, alongside our friend Duncan and Lindsay's brother Ryan, who is also my friend. That was a weird way of phrasing that. We're all friends.
My friend Josh is married, and I say my friend Josh's wife because I knew him for much longer, but Tamara is also my friend.
The four of us together, we also have a Pokemon Actual Play podcast where we use just a little bit more rules than you guys do, but we're working on making that lesser. That's called
Pokemon. You guys have seen the light.
That's called Pokemon. Oh, I should also probably mention that one's probably rated T for teen due to strong language.
Okay.
We don't do any Pokemon noise censoring. If we're dropping F-bombs, we're dropping F-bombs.
Fair.
That's called Pokemon Adventures in the Millennium, and you can find that on Twitter at PWT_Millennium.
PWT Millennium?
Oh, no, PKMN_Millennium. Oh. PWT Millennium is when we broke you guys into a crossover.
Did you spin off your character to a new game?
I was inspired, and for legal reasons, I have to state that none of my players listened to PWTU before they started playing, because if you listen, you will find a lot of elements that track on to the PWT cast.
I think there's in a vacuum, like, you're going to figure out a lot of the same stuff that we did. So that makes sense.
No, I'm talking like there's a character that's really into wrestling, and there's a character who used to be our Team Rocket member, and there's a character who's kind of dumb.
Well, there's only 4 types of people. There's exasperated, exasperating, dumb, and horny. So, you know, they're going to land on there somewhere.
Yeah. See, they don't have a Victor equivalent. That's a rotating cast slot. So,
okay. Dope. Well, thank you very much for coming on. This is a ton of fun.
Thank you for having me on to gush about Taylor.
Anytime. You picked a great episode. Poor Cassidy, who had to get bumped back to her second choice.
I think, the world's leading Taylor appreciation podcast.
As of right now, for sure, definitely.
I mean, I got to listen to episode 3 today and then watch episode 7, so I'm just riding that Taylor Earhart high, like, straight to the bank.
Nice. Well, we will see you on Friday for what, Josh?
It is called, and I just looked at it, and now it's gone from my brain.
It's like Soul Searching or something like that.
Soul Searching, yep.
Soul Searching. We'll see you on Friday for that, but until then,
may the power protect you.
All right, so we're all synced, good to go. Josh, do you have the stuff?
Oh, I will have the stuff.
It's your turn this time.
Look, you want the stuff? I got the stuff.
Give me the stuff.
Oh, boy. I don't actually need to know. I have a lot of windows open. Hang on.